Welcome to the Planet Prana Yoga and Meditation Podcast with your host, Zen Jen. My mission is to spread awareness about the practice of yoga and to shine a spotlight on the amazing yoga community of Cleveland, Ohio. Practice, connect, grow, and heal. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome back for episode 14. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to both Hannah and Becca for leaving nice reviews on iTunes. I really appreciate the yoga love and all the support to help me get the word out about the podcast. I'd like to kindly ask everyone who listens on iTunes to take a moment and leave a review. This really helps the podcast get more exposure on iTunes. Also, I'd like to share that I'm finally coming back to teaching some group class events after taking about a year-long hiatus. So every month, I'll be teaching a monthly mind-body reset at the Cultural Center of Cleveland in the Tremont neighborhood. This will be a 90-minute class. It'll be about 60 minutes of a Zen flow and 30 minutes of yoga nidra. So it's going to be an absolutely lovely practice. I hope you'll join me. The first event will take place on Sunday, November 27th at 1 p.m. You can access the Eventbrite online signup page on my website. So let's talk about today's episode, episode 14. I'm so excited about this episode and could not wait to share it with my listeners. My brother moved back to Denver early this year and invited me to come out for a Denver yoga tour. Denver has such a vibrant yoga scene with over 65 studios and awesome yoga-related events happening all over town every week. I had an amazing conversation with two very special yogis, which has some very powerful revelations and content for every level of practitioner of yoga. The three of us were really excited about the conversation when we completed the interview. We actually recorded our conversation after a beautiful and playful vinyasa class led by Danelle Numis of the Alpine Dog Brewery with her group Apres Yoga. Danelle will tell you about Apres Yoga and how she started up this thriving community of yogis who practice at breweries and cafes and restaurants. My brother Steve has also been a dedicated yoga practitioner for more than 15 years and is about to embark on a 200-hour teacher training at Core Power Yoga in Lohi, which is where he lives. He started his practice in the Bikram tradition in Bozeman, Montana, and he shares his heartfelt perspective about how the Denver yoga community and Danelle have transformed his practice in a profound way. A little more about Danelle. She completed her 200-hour teacher training in Denver at Om Time Yoga with Shannon Page. She completed her 300-hour, which for a total of 500-hour, at the Colorado School of Yoga with Gina Caputo in Boulder in May of 2014. She is a graduate of Syracuse University with a Bachelor of Science in Retail Management and a minor in Marketing. She graduated from the University of Colorado at Boulder in May of 2013 with an MBA with an emphasis on entrepreneurship and finance. She's really growing her status in the Denver yoga community as she recently presented at the Yoga Journal Conference in Estes Park, Colorado. And she also recently presented at the Denver Yoga Fest, the inaugural Denver Yoga Fest, which happened this past summer. So she's quite the yogi with lots of great information, very well spoken, lots of feedback, lots of interesting content from this interview. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Some notes about the podcast, just reminders that the podcast lives at my website, planetprana.com. There is a podcast page and each episode has its own post where you can listen to the podcast as well as review all of the show notes. The show notes have lots of resources, so go there and check it out if you'd like. The website also has a Northeast Ohio yoga directory of teachers, yoga studios, and yoga schools, and also a page about the CLE Yoga Teachers, CULA, which I curate and founded. And please feel free to reach out to me anytime, planetprana@gmail.com. And of course, I always like to give you your final reminder of your true nature before we begin the episode. That you are a radiant and boundless being of light and vibration. Be guided by love and compassion for yourself, for all beings, and our beautiful home, the planet Earth. Thank you again for listening in. Please enjoy episode 14. So we're here at the Alpine Dog Brewery with Danelle Numis of Après Yoga and my brother Steve Zetzer, yoga practitioner extraordinaire and future teacher. He's Ooh. Taking a YTT.
Which one?
I'm doing the 200-hour at Core Power at Lohi.
Awesome.
Starting next week.
That's wonderful. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm so grateful to have you both. So I want to start with Danelle. Will you tell me first about your yoga story? How did you come to yoga and teaching yoga?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jenny. I got introduced to yoga in college. I was in a sorority, a sorority girl, and my sister was a cheerleader. And she had this, like, you know, really petite frame and constantly practiced yoga in the chapter room and asked me one day if I wanted to practice with her. We started off with Mari Windsor Pilates DVDs and Patricia Walden yoga videos.
Oh, I love her.
And I just got hooked. My body transformed. I was a sophomore in college, and I definitely had like the freshman 15, maybe sophomore 15 going on. And shortly after that, I just really felt really embodied and started losing weight and feeling more toned and stronger. And I was always a dancer growing up, so I felt like it was really relatable and similar to what I'd already been doing for most of my life. It wasn't competitive, and I really enjoyed that it could just be kind of my own practice. So we did it pretty consistently, and then I got hooked. I bought a lot of DVDs and started practicing with Shiva Ray on the DVDs and Rodney E and Sean Korn and all those great people. That was when we didn't have online streaming, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I even had some VHS tapes. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Me too. Yeah. That's how I started.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't take my first public class until I was actually a senior in college, and it was a part of the curriculum. So it was a one-credit course, and it was my favorite class ever. You know, I was the star pupil, ready to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Ready to teach other students. And yeah, totally. And I just loved it. And ever since then, I've been practicing. So that was back in, introduced in 2004. So it's been 12 years since I've been practicing. And I've been teaching for about 6 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide I want to be a yoga teacher? And then how did you pursue that?
I think I knew when I first took that public class and we had this teacher guiding us. Because I felt really held by her, and she was really enthusiastic. You know, there were a lot of people just taking it because it was our senior year, and we were just having fun.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was my favorite part of my week. You know, it was twice a week, and I developed a kind of a, more of a consistent practice, I would say, from that. I was in business, the business school at Syracuse University, and I knew that I wanted to have my own business someday, so I wanted to maybe have a yoga and dance studio of my own.
Yeah.
Sure, that's evolved to other things these days, but it's still definitely one of my goals, and I just really thought that I would be a good yoga teacher.
Yeah. I will attest that you are an amazing yoga teacher. I'm going to say that I took your class anticipating to do my own thing, and I was so inspired to do everything that you asked me to do.
Yay.
So thank you. Thank you
thank
for
you.
That. And what a great gift to the Denver community to have you
as a teacher.
Thank you for being a good student and following my lead.
You're welcome.
There's always that one student that's like, I know. This is beneath me, or this is too advanced. And I'm glad that you were able to follow me along that journey today.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely wanted to. Good. You know, not when I walked in, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, Steve, your turn, man. Tell me how you came to yoga. What's your yoga story?
Well, my yoga story is I don't know if it's typical for guys getting into yoga, but, you know, I was always resistant to it. A lot of people in fitness and, you know, a lot of outdoor athletes, skiers, were all adamant about practicing yoga. And I was like, I need to go and work out. You know, I don't need to go.
He is so type A.
Right. I don't need to go to, you know, just go stretch for a while. I mean, there's really, I just didn't get it. I didn't see the benefit. And then 2003, my ex-wife brought me to a Bikram yoga class, which, like, for your first yoga class,
that's intense.
It's the gateway, though.
It's quite intense. It's a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Right? I call it a gateway drug. It was a gateway drug for me. And
it certainly is for many people.
And because I was really looking for that athletic challenge experiment, it was just, like, the right thing at the right time. And I probably practiced almost every day for about 5 years. Crazy. And the people who ran the Bikram Yoga Studio in Bozeman, where I lived at the time, were just super great teachers. Very inspiring, very mentoring, very welcoming. So, it was one of those things with me, like, I'll place, like, life-changing experiences, like having children.
Wow.
Finding yoga. All that kind of stuff. So
wow,
that is big.
So super, super inspiring event. I've always practiced from that point. I started branching out from the Bikram, you know, extremist world. As I traveled, a lot of times I would travel for business and find a yoga studio where I was traveling. Sometimes it would be a Bikram studio. Sometimes it would be something else. I got involved with Core Power when they first started in
Boulder.
Somewhere in the Denver market. I was at the Broadway studio, Broadway in Denver, and that was maybe like 05, 06, and then started doing the Power Yoga
that
stuff.
That is early on, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I read...
You're like one of their first students.
I might have been. I don't know. I read Baron Baptiste's book, which really kind of tied in with what Core Power was teaching, The Journey into Power.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, excellent, excellent book. Mm-hmm. And it was different for me. You know, I definitely got indoctrinated in the Bikram way, mm-hmm. and I, you know, kind of became this, you know, kind of a yoga snob. And I was like, this isn't really yoga. And, you know, it's naive in some sense, looking back on it, but it was, it also made me very driven to learn more different styles of yoga and to try to learn them correctly. So,
just to expand your knowledge base. Yeah.
Right, to expand. And so, anyway, in 2016, being back in Colorado has been great. The variety of yoga practices that I've been exposed to since I've been back. Denver, in the Denver yoga scene, has just been amazing. And being able to practice with Danelle and Upra Yoga and with Core Power and then some of the community events and the Denver Yoga Festival, it's just really been phenomenal and opened up a lot of opportunity and a lot of vision for what's possible in yoga going forward. So,
what I love about Steve is that he's like an older guy in this community, and I think that there are definitely older gentlemen that are practicing yoga, but
absolutely,
we need advocates like him speaking to all the benefits of his experience, because
there's so many more people who have not even tried.
Right.
Those of you listening, listen to my brother Steve. He just turned 50.
Woo!
And
I feel great. My body feels better than it has felt in my entire life. All my joints feel fine.
Yes.
It's just I feel like I can athletically do what I want to do. I can ski comfortably. Mm-hmm. I hiked a 14er 2 weeks ago.
Awesome. Which one?
Bierstadt.
Nice.
Since it's appropriate since we're drinking beer.
I know. He says this with a beer in his hand.
Right. Yes, yeah, so you can't see this, but there is drinking happening while we're doing this interview. Well, okay, so that leads me into the next question, because you brought up how the new, being here in 2016, the Denver yoga scene. And I'm really curious about this, because in Cleveland, the scene is happening and thriving, maybe a bit saturated, but I do feel there's enough clients for everybody. So tell me what the yoga scene is like in Denver. Danelle, I'll start with you.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York are pretty much the hubs for yoga. They've always been.
Yeah.
Naturally, I think people that came from India to bring the teachings came to the popular cities so they could get, you know, mass appeal and get more people on board. And I think Colorado is kind of the next up and coming. Because it's not only Denver, it's Boulder for sure.
Yeah.
I think the amount of talent that's in Boulder is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's a lot of senior teachers in Boulder. Yoga Journal is based in Boulder now. They used to be in San Francisco, now they're based in Boulder. So we're in very close proximity. Gaiam is a big company now.
Huge.
It's also Gaia TV.
Yeah.
It's based in Boulder.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a lot of, you know, natural and organic health and wellness businesses that are headquartered here.
Yeah.
And the just community at large is really passionate about yoga. Having said that, still only 10% of people in Denver practice yoga. And that
10%.
Is small. You know, we are a growing city. I think the last metric I saw, the population was like a couple years ago, and it was 2.4 million.
Wow.
Now that's 10,000 people are moving here each month or something.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I was wondering what the population was.
Yeah, it's definitely increasing day by day. So there's an attraction here, you know. It's very beautiful. It's sunny 350 days out of the year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are passionate about hiking and climbing and mountain biking and running. I guess passion around health and wellness is already existent.
Yes.
Yoga is a nice complement to all those things.
Yes.
So I think there's definitely an upswing happening with the amount of cred that Denver has in the yoga community, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just had the inaugural Denver Yoga Festival, which was really successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been a part of it.
I want to do that in Cleveland, by the
way. Yeah. You totally should.
Yeah.
You know, I like Denver Yoga Festival because it highlighted local teachers, but it also brought in a lot of great talent from outside.
So it should be.
It should be,
yeah.
It should be a pairing of both. Because
absolutely.
You want the local community to know the local teachers.
And then learn something.
And learn something new from other people. Right. I think that festival really went well. I mean, yes, I was privileged to be on the lineup for it, but I think I've seen a lot of grassroots efforts to make things happen, and they don't really work as well. This one was so professional. They had a ton of investment behind them.
Yeah.
They got a lot of great vendors. They got a lot of great talent. And they were able to produce, you know, a really sustainable event that didn't have to be packed with people. There were a good amount of people at the festival, but it was still comfortable. And you got to know each other and connect in community. And I really like that about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Steve, what's your perspective on the community as a practitioner, but soon to be teacher?
Yeah, man, I'll say that the diversity and the skill and professionalism of the teachers in the Denver yoga scene are amazing. And since I've been here in 2016, I've probably taken classes with about 40 teachers.
Wow.
Just because I do look for the opportunities to take a good class. Core Power does have a lot of teachers, and the places where I'm practicing around town, Opera Yoga, and Yoga Pod is on my list to go to. But it's just amazing, and I have to say that every teacher that I practice with has had some inspiration and enlightenment or breakthrough that I've been able to garner in my practice from those teachers. And that's just, to me, that's phenomenal. I'm so grateful for that.
coach.
Steve is the right mindset as a student.
I love his mindset.
I'm a sponge, right?
You're a sponge.
Really
you are. But that is the right perspective to have. So yeah. All of you listeners out there, like, I would encourage you to just really take in what everyone has to offer because I certainly go to classes sometimes where I'm not really jiving with the flow or the practice, but I still am appreciative that they're, you know,
they're
offering up whatever teachings they have, and maybe it might not resonate with me forever, but at least I'm experiencing it at that time.
I had a teacher tell me once that there's something to learn from every teacher,
right?
Even if it's something that you shouldn't do.
Right. Well, and I take
that's a smart way to think about it.
But there really truly is something to learn from every teacher from every level, because we each individually have something to offer.
Mm-hmm. And I really want to take the perspective focus in this area of just being non-judgmental as a student, right? The teachers are always teaching, you know, it's not about what the next person next to you is doing. It's about where you are in your journey, in your body, but it's also that way for the teacher. From the student's perspective, the teacher is also on a journey, and where that teacher is on that day that you're in that class is, you never know where that's going to be, but I'll say that all the teachers that I've had the privilege to practice with in Denver have just had some phenomenal breakthrough for me and have allowed me to really see something that I didn't see before the class I took.
Yeah, that is so well put. I love that, that you mentioned how in the moment in each day your practice feels differently. As a teacher, you teach a little differently based on who shows up, what's happening in that moment, the vibe, the energy, the time of the day.
Another student at the studio asked me that this morning. Are you just going to teach the same class when you go to the brewery? I'm like, well, no, because even though probably the frame of the sequence is the same, like, I certainly switched it up a little bit when I got here.
Yeah.
And the delivery was certainly different.
Yeah.
The vibe
was fun.
Yeah.
It was lighthearted,
that's
fun.
That's what I try to incorporate.
But, I like the demo done from the top of the bar.
So yeah. I know.
Practicing yoga in a brewery this morning, and Danelle is
sometimes
up on
there's
the
just
bar.
Too many people.
That was beautiful.
Inside plank and showing us all down on the brewery floor.
Yeah. So just to get a visual for our listeners, that Danelle was demonstrating poses on the bar.
Yes. Well, yeah,
so I'm glad you
we're in a unique
up.
Setting.
Yes,
that has to happen sometimes.
Absolutely,
too many people.
Yeah,
on the floor.
Yeah, that was great.
You got to get up and be on a stage.
Yeah,
platform or something.
Yeah.
So, as a practitioner, and especially one that started in such a serious practice with Bikram and just taking things way too seriously, it's been so refreshing. Practice with Upper Yoga and Danelle.
Yeah.
And just to have that lightness and that, hey, she's on top of a bar showing me how to do a yoga posture and giving me some tips.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this woman seriously. I'm going to learn something from this situation.
Awesome.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
So again, great segue, Steve. Thank you. Into the next question. I definitely want to talk about the Upper Yoga. So this is your baby. This is, you founded this program.
Yeah.
And so tell our listeners about what Upper Yoga is and what kind of what your goal is. And
Sure. Yeah. Upper Yoga started last May in this brewery. Mm-hmm. We started here just because I wanted to do something on my own. I had been teaching in studios for, you know, at least 5 years at that point. And I wanted to branch out and do something on my own.
Yeah.
And I always wanted my own yoga studio, but I thought that might be a little too much. So I came here one night with a friend, one of my neighbors, and we were just drinking and having beers, and we talked to the owner, the head brewer of Alpine Dog, and we were like, hey, you want to try yoga? And he said yes, and I was shocked that he said yes. This space is so beautiful
for it.
It's really light and expansive, and even though it's a small tap room.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a good a good community and a good space for it. So, Upper Yoga is a mobile yoga studio, I like to call it, where we go around to different breweries, wineries, roasteries, distilleries, and cideries in Denver because there's so many options now.
Yeah.
And you get to enjoy a libation of your choice after class. So even at the roastery, we have coffee drinks, but we can have coffee cocktails too. And it doesn't always have to be about a libation, of course. We can certainly do classes with, like, juices or ice cream. But, frankly, the majority of people in Denver like to drink beer and vibe. So
Definitely. That's
how I get them in.
Yeah.
So we don't drink while we practice. We practice for an hour. And then we get to enjoy a drink after class together and connect in community. And that's something that I love about it. We don't get to do that at the studio. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely people that connect with people that go to the studio and frequent the classes that they do and become friends.
Yeah.
But it's more rare that that happens, that interaction happens. So here, they're kind of forced to talk to people because they have to enjoy their pint of beer after class and talk to, you know, a stranger.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about it. I've definitely made a lot of friends through it. Denver, when I first moved here, I moved actually to Denver 3 years ago after I moved from Boulder, but I felt kind of lonely and didn't have a community. So this has really been a gift for me, too, because I've gotten to know a lot more people. I've connected with a lot of the, you know, local business owners, and we've kind of bounced ideas off of each other. We've partnered together.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the studentship is so great because I have got a pretty loyal group of students that come back. And a lot of out-of-towners, a lot of tourists think that it's super fun just to try something new and novelty, and they have a blast coming to class. So
what's been the response so far?
I think it's been pretty strong. I mean, I think, like I said, it's a novelty experience. They don't expect to come to a brewery and practice yoga.
Yeah.
But it's when it's available to them, they're definitely here and show up to participate.
Yeah. It was a great group this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I still think people are traditionalists and like going back to the studios, and that's why I teach in studios too. But this is, you know, kind of a fun, like, off schedule event for them, and maybe they come back every week, maybe they come back once a month, and it's available to them whenever they're ready to have it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So how do you think this experience creating Après Yoga and working the community side of it and also being independent, how has that kind of inspired you as a yoga teacher, as maybe being independent and creating community?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's inspired me a lot. As I mentioned, I think that it's helped me get more creative in my sequencing. I've had great teachers in my own education, yoga, to teach me how to properly sequence and alignment and all those good things. But I think I have more freedom now to do me a little bit more and to create the ultimate experience for the student. So it's almost a little bit more of a responsibility put on me when I have to show up in a unique space and setting like this and provide the experience for them, because they're used to going to maybe a studio that's more formal and more traditional and not smiling, I guess, holding their breath or whatever it is. Here we get to have fun and smile and maybe do some like fun kriyas or, you know, like do some partner work and different things that they might not get in a traditional setting.
I love that. Yeah. I really love that. I love that you said too how it just kind of inspires you to be creative and gives you the opportunity to kind of be yourself and grow as a teacher.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I love that. So what Steve says about Danelle, when he was first saying, you should interview Danelle, because I'm like, I want to interview somebody for the podcast
when I'm
in Denver, is that you are becoming a yoga rock star in Denver. But how did this Après Yoga kind of develop your reputation in the community?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Yeah. I think it definitely has catapulted me into this new realm.
Yeah.
I think because it's my own, I had to step in and get more confident in my offering and in my teaching.
Yeah.
So I'm more comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
I kind of can stand on my own a little bit more and be more comfortable with myself. And I think this offering has led me to have more opportunities. So I pitched, you know, the Denver Yoga Festival. I pitched the Stapletown Yoga Festival. I got to be a part of the Yoga Journal Conference this year just because I'm really good at like networking and putting myself out there because I have this unique offering that has some cred built behind it.
Absolutely.
So I think it makes me more of a unique teacher, and my offering is certainly more unique because I'm creating these community experiences that need to happen. I mean, it's not unique to me. Like, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
But they need to happen because yoga needs to get out to more people, and this is an outlet for that to happen.
It really is. Yeah. So you started earlier by saying only 10% of the population practices. So what an opportunity to gain clients and to get more people to practice. That's really the end goal, right? We want everybody practicing yoga because what a great world would it be if everybody was practicing, right?
You know, I've been interviewed by a couple of local magazines and newspapers, and they asked me, like, what is it that makes it so special? I'm like, well, I think people are less intimidated by coming into a brewery because, you know, a lot of men come because they think, okay, at least even if it sucks, like, I get a beer. But good thing is it doesn't suck. And they get a beer.
Yeah, because that was a great class. I mean, you offered an amazing class.
It's totally legit.
And I was
skeptical coming in, really, to my first opera yoga class. I'm like, well, at least I'll get a beer, right?
Right.
Just
like you said. Just like you should,
And I don't know what the experience will be like.
Worst
but,
case scenario.
You know, and should I, like, do, like, my regular daily workout? Or
beforehand.
Or do another yoga class before I go, just, you know, just make this one be fun.
Yeah.
You know, fun time. But it's totally legit. And it's a really good, positive yoga workout where, you know, for me, there's some things that I hit that I'm like, oh, I just released something that I needed to release. And that would not have happened in my you know, regimented yoga snob world.
Right. I think one more thing I wanted to touch on is, like, how inclusive it is. So, like, I really tried to welcome in people of all ages, like, all types of levels, because I don't want them to feel like yoga is this thing that's only accessible
for rich white people.
Rich white people. Or flexible young girls, you know? Like, sure, like, I am, like, an, you know, a privileged white person that is happens to be flexible and happens to be strong.
Yeah.
So yes, I, you know, the poses come a little bit more naturally to me.
Yeah.
But I also want to make sure that they know that it is an opportunity for them.
Yeah.
That they can actually experience it as well.
I love it.
And and as a student, you know, I really feel that all inclusiveness and that all level, and, you know, having met the social experience after the yoga class, having met a lot of the other yogis, a lot of them, their first yoga experience was coming to an opera yoga class.
That is amazing.
Yes.
And, I love it. Yes.
And that was one of the things that inspired me a lot about my practice and about the Denver yoga scene was when I met Danelle, was that I said, man, what you're doing is you're bringing yoga to a lot of people who would never actually come across it in their daily life. And you're bringing it to them in a way that's totally legit. Powerful, and it's really
awesome. Thank you, Steve. I applaud those people too, right?
Yeah.
I applaud the people for showing up.
For showing
That's half the battle.
Yeah.
Most of the battle, frankly, is showing
up
to class.
For each of us, even as teachers.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, again, you guys both segued into the next question because I wanted to ask, how did you discover Apres Yoga? Because you're great at marketing.
Yeah.
So somehow you discovered this.
Yeah. So
was the first class at Barrels?
At Denver Beer Company.
It was.
But I got connected to that event through Fit 36, which is kind of a high-intensity circuit. Of course, I'm type A. So Fit 36
they're great guys.
Is
they're
a
really
great concept where they do a 36-minute workout. It's 1 minute of high intensity on a station and then 30 seconds of rest. And then you rotate 12 stations, 30 seconds of rest between each, and then you do it again, and the whole thing takes 36 minutes. It's a great workout. They're great people. But
yeah, they are great.
They said, hey, all of the Fit 36 Highlanders, where I practice, they said, you know, come to Denver Beer Company for the Beer Olympics. And the Beer Olympics,
that
I said,
the day we
man,
met.
That's awesome. Yep. There's a 5K, 5K run.
Uh-huh.
And
oh
they challenged some people to carry growlers of beer for the entire 5K.
Like full growlers?
Two people carried a keg, keg, right?
A keg,
the entire way.
That's so Denver.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was ready to volunteer for that, but I said, I will get injured if I try to carry that keg.
Okay, good.
My fear got the best of me, but the people who did volunteer, they rolled the keg, which did not appear in my mind.
Right.
But anyway, getting off topic, but Danelle was there. She had a tent set up, and she was talking about Apres Yoga and what Apres Yoga was. And she also did a mini yoga class after the 5K run for all the runners before they enjoyed their beer just as the brewery was opening. And in the 15, 20 minute class that Danelle put together. Again, totally legit, very strong and very restorative after the 5K run. And pretty much everybody who practiced had probably never practiced yoga before.
Oh,
and probably said, this is freaking cool.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be back.
Right.
For another,
and you did come back.
And I did come back.
Yeah.
And
like the week later.
Yeah.
And you touched on this a little bit earlier when you were speaking. Like, how has the experience of practicing with Danelle and Après Yoga at these different venues? What? How is that versus practicing in a regular studio? And you kind of touched on this too for you, Steve.
Well, for me, it's definitely brought a lightness, which I really need.
You do.
I need that in my practice.
Yes.
I'm too serious about it, and you know, to really take the chance, the opportunity to smile, and to just have fun and play, and it's okay, you know, whatever
totally
to fall, and it's. You know, even though a lot of yoga teachers will talk about, you know, no judgment, no expectations, you know, I put that on myself that I want to do it well. I want to progress. I want to do it better every time. But you know, in the Après Yoga, I really feel like I'm having fun and I'm really progressing my yoga practice, and I don't get that in other opportunities. So.
That's great.
That is such a testament to you and your teachings now. Seriously.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, really, that's amazing. So let's talk about community building. What advice would you give to yoga teachers or any entrepreneurs on how to build this type of community? I mean, and then build it. Well, we'll go to that question next, but what advice would you give on doing this?
Well, I will say I have an affinity for marketing, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
I can certainly give, you know, yoga teachers individual pointers on how to better market their classes, but I also think that connecting one-on-one with your students is super important.
Yeah.
I have a knack, I will say, for remembering people's names.
Yes.
And I'm fortunate for that, for sure. But I think beyond that, you can connect with somebody one-on-one and just give them a little bit of attention, and that goes a long way.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, might not have interaction on a daily basis with other people.
Yeah.
And for them to be acknowledged and appreciated from a yoga teacher who they see as an influencer or someone, you know, just to look up to is important. You know, Steve and I connected at that event, and I honestly couldn't even remember when we met, but I know that I made a connection with him enough to have him come back and for him to really show up, and that, I think, is the difference.
Yeah, it is.
I do the same in the yoga studio, too, but I still feel like because this is a novelty experience and it's out-of-the-box thinking, that you have to make sure that you connect with your students a little bit more.
Yeah, and I will add to that that during class, you would verbal adjustments or compliments to specific people by name,
right,
which is definitely a gift as a yoga teacher. I've had a few teachers of my own who've done that, and I've always like, wow,
right,
because I'm terrible with remembering names, but I want to so badly because it feels really important to the student who shows up and you say
really
their name.
Yeah,
it's really, really special.
Right, you're acknowledged a little bit more.
And not just here, make this little correction in your practice, but also you would say, that is beautiful. That looked amazing.
Or at least just simple presence. Like, like, thank you for your presence. Thank you for showing up. Like, this is for you more than anything, but thank you for being part of this community. You know, like, that's so simple. So easy
to
do.
It is.
The extreme, you know, attention to social media these days, how we're constantly locked into our phones, it's so easy to connect. I mean, Steve and I are friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
We're on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that happened really organically. It wasn't, like, forced at all.
Right.
And we still have a professional, like, teacher-to-student relationship.
Yeah.
But we still, you know, get to know each other a little bit more because of our social media profiles. You know, like, there's more to my profile than just yoga.
Yeah.
It's about my life.
Your life.
What I do outside of it. Yeah.
And oftentimes yoga teachers are kind of put in this certain light.
Yes.
As, I don't know, like, we're perfect or we don't do anything wrong. We don't drink beer. Or,
right.
other things like that. But no, you bring it to a totally realistic perspective, as we're people too, and
yeah.
you connect with people in that way.
Right, can, right.
Just from meeting you today,
yes.
I already feel an
and
amazing connection.
I will always
with
be
you.
A student, you know, like
yes.
I see myself as a teacher and an influencer for sure.
Yeah.
Now that I've been teaching for a while and that this is
yeah.
my profession,
yeah.
but I'm still a student
always.
To my teachers and I'm learning from my students.
Yeah.
The most advanced yogi, I always say this, but the most advanced yogi calls themselves the beginner.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I love that you said that.
I'm super inspired by
yes.
the things that you're doing, and I will segue to the business side.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Of yoga.
You clearly are related.
You must have studied the questions in order.
But, you know, one of the things that really inspired me about practicing with Danelle and getting to know Danelle's teaching is your attention to business and to marketing and to really putting it all together and, you know, making yoga a business that can work for you and can work
yeah.
for the students and really is something that's sustainable and, you know, allows you to really use your creative, your business skills
yeah.
And share those with others. And it's really super inspiring.
Thanks.
And you know,
yeah.
being an entrepreneur
yeah.
and a business person myself, you know, that's really cool to see.
Yeah, and that's an interesting way to talk about this. And I wanted to bring in the idea of walking the fine line of practicing business in a compassionate way with gratitude, because ultimately it is business, and we have to make a living. But yet we're yogis and we practice this amazing practice, which we're always learning on how to be better people, how to interact with people in a better way, how to inspire people. I mean, that's really the practice. Is there, like, how do you in your own life and in with Upray Yoga walk that fine line as a yogi business person? I mean, do you have like a formula that you practice, or is it just happen because you're a great person?
Well, you guys are so filled with the compliments. It's so nice of you. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Definitely see in the yoga community a lot of people that tend to be more of service for free and sacrificing their own well-being in order to offer this amazing practice to others. And
yeah.
I struggle with that because I've obviously gone to business school and I've had a mother that was super independent and super successful in business, and I've always like kind of followed in her footsteps to be my own business entrepreneur and inspired by, you know, success.
Yeah.
So I want both, right? I want to be able to offer a great experience for the practitioner, but I also want to be able to sustain my offering.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it comes down to, is that
sure,
you can offer your service for free, but at what expense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely value the yoga practice, asana, meditation, etc. And I think that there can be a suitable price point for those offerings to make sure that you can still sustain your own lifestyle. And, you know, maybe we won't be making, like, six figures, like, you know, people in finance or something.
Right.
But we can still live a sustainable lifestyle
and
be able to offer this great experience for other people and make their lives better.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you think about, like, a therapist or a massage therapist or any sort of, like, spirit worker, healer.
Yeah.
They charge for their service. So
why
can't we charge a fair price for the service that we're offering?
Steve and I had this exact conversation yesterday as entrepreneurs and business people to how to place value on what you're offering and how to value yourself
in
your own
line.
Training and everything that you've done to get to this point.
Yeah.
How to place a value on that without feeling ashamed or you're not worth it or...
It's just not right. You
or
know?
It's not
and
right.
In yoga, you know, you get this whole stigma of, you know, it's all about giving to the world, and you know, the world should give something back to you, you know, there should be some give and take to that, and I will say that as an entrepreneur, that fine line does cross every industry, like you said about you know, the alternative medicine and healers and massage therapists.
It does.
I'm in the IT services industry, and there's a lot of people in the IT services industry who are in the same boat, who are, you know, like for me personally, I genuinely want to help my clients be successful
right.
with their IT and have awesome cybersecurity and all that. And really to value that and price it appropriately was something that I didn't learn until I learned it from really experience and undercharging and undervaluing the services that I put out there. And for, you know, anybody who has a gift teaching yoga,
yeah.
there really is a value to that. And those people are, you know, rock stars and really deserve some financial and business success.
Yeah.
And the two could go together and have a great experience for students, breakthroughs, and to have financial success for people in the business. So.
Right. I think I might have told you this before, but once I graduated business school, you know, I was still teaching yoga when I got my MBA, but I've always had goals to elevate the yoga industry to other prominent industries.
Yes.
And I think it's not happening right now because there's a lot of people that still undervalue themselves.
Yeah.
So my goal is to hopefully inspire more young teachers to know their worth from the onset.
Yes.
So they won't take opportunities for free or for trade
yeah.
or for minimal pay just to have the experience.
Just to have the
there's
experience.
A certain time and place where that's fine. Like I yeah. definitely support donation-based classes
yeah.
and free classes when somebody is like giving yeah. you you know, incentive to show up.
Yeah.
But I also think it hurts the industry if you constantly take opportunities like that.
Yeah.
And
it does.
It's not going to help us in the long haul.
I've had this conversation with so many teachers in Cleveland, because this is a thing in Cleveland too.
Right.
And it is. It's a difficult. It's tricky. But the free offerings can be, it's good and bad.
Yeah.
And for all the
once in a while, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
For all the aspiring yoga teachers out there, Steve, including you as a future YTT, to know that there's so many different ways as yoga teachers to make a living.
Yeah.
You have to be creative.
Right.
You with Apre Yoga,
mm-hmm.
me with a podcast and,
yeah.
and the yoga community in
right.
Cleveland.
Right.
And you have to just, you can make a living at this.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough clients for everybody. And you just have to be creative and believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And align yourself with the right people.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
really do have so much in common.
Yeah.
I'm like, yay! Taking everything that you're saying.
All right. So we're going to shift gears a little bit. I try to focus in on a couple like wellness tips for the listeners, how to live well, how to live stress-free with, you know, with yoga. So let's talk about how do you relieve stress in a healthy way in your daily life?
Okay, well, I've been recently really good at meditating every day. I sit in the morning for at least 10 minutes,
yeah.
If not longer sometimes. Sometimes it's really easy and I'm dropped
yeah.
right in.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's like, oh my God, I'm going through my to-do list and that's all I've got. And time's up, ding.
Yeah, right.
The bell
rings.
That's okay.
That's okay.
That's the practice.
Yeah. Non-judgmental.
Yeah.
That's
all it is.
There's
right.
no judgment about
yeah.
what
right.
comes up in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So that's my daily practice. I definitely try to get on my mat. I've been better as more of a senior teacher these days, like practicing on my own.
Good.
But I still feel really inspired to take other people's classes in the community. Should I try
Dog,
that again?
Dogs in Denver.
that was cute. He's
yeah.
sweet.
Those yogis in the
He's
corner
sweet.
Are scary.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, though. You never know what's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
I try to live the 80-20 lifestyle. Okay.
Yes.
Which is like 80% of the time. I'm
yes.
really good to my body. I drink my green juice. I
yeah.
make my smoothies. I eat a lot of vegetables. But then 20% of the time, I do imbibe and enjoy a pint of beer or a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like some cake. Like
chicken wings.
I like cake.
Whatever.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Whatever it is, ice cream.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say probably it's like 70-30 most of the time.
In the summertime, for sure.
Summertime, for sure. I recently did a cleanse, and I was like, I realized how off
yeah.
I was on that 80-20 number.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I just try to like balance it out. I don't think that you have to be so regimented in
yeah.
your daily life. I think we can really easily be hard on ourselves, and it's
yeah.
not helpful to your overall well-being. So
yeah.
give yourself some leeway, give yourself a break, and
yeah.
you know, just have fun with friends and family
yeah.
and do what you love.
Absolutely. I love the 80-20. I live by that exact same philosophy. Yeah.
So while I'm having this beer, I'm also drinking my lemon water.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Steve, what about you? What do you do to relieve stress in your daily life?
Well, I definitely practice yoga pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, in a brewery, which is an awesome opportunity, or in studio. You know, if I'm traveling, I practice in a hotel room before. That's a big part of stress relief for me. And I really can feel things that are heavy on my mind release during that process. I mean, to the point where I'll feel a specific burden or mental stress or whatever, and I'll just, oh, okay, it's gone.
Wow.
Just let it go. And so that's super helpful. And then I still love the high intensity stuff. I sprinkle in a high intensity workout. I do go to 10:36, which is the interval training.
I have to go there with you.
It's excellent. My daughter has gotten me into Orange Theory. She's an aspiring freestyle skier, and they work out at Orange Theory in Park City. And she said, "Dad, you need to try this. I think you'll love it." And she is amazingly very much like me. And
freestyle skier.
She's auditioning for the U.S. ski team.
Amazing.
She's got lofty goals.
She inspires me to even really push my limits. And as crazy as it might sound, I mean, the relief I feel, and just like, you know, brute force pushing through things that are, you know, barriers to me and fear and just getting past all of that and letting it go and being okay with where it is. That's a big deal for me.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's kind of OCD. And, you know, those types of experiences. And then getting out, you know, doing a hike. Hiking a 14er, hiking to a mountain lake, or going skiing, you know, all that stuff helps a lot.
Yeah. So, moving.
I forgot to add that in my directory. I'm like, I don't just do yoga.
Hike every Friday.
I hike every Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely do like Pilates and I run. So
yeah.
I, you know, don't just practice yoga every day.
Yeah, that's a common thread with everybody I ask, moving their body in whatever way that feels good for them.
People ask me what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about movement.
Movement.
You know, if I don't move every day, I feel
me
like
too.
I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you were saying that with traveling. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important to
keep
moving.
So that also segues into the next question. What are you working on? We're going to go back to yoga specifically.
Okay.
What are you working on in your own yoga practice?
That's a hard one. Physically, I'm working on handstands. I'm you know, proficient at handstands, but I would like to do the push-up to handstand. That's still like a very unattainable goal, but one that's maybe achievable.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough, but I think because meditation is more of a practice in my life, I'm working on being okay with where my meditation practice is.
Yeah.
So what does that look like every day? Like, is it sitting? Is it walking and meditating?
Yeah.
Is it just writing? Like, what does that look like? And mostly it is just sitting because I feel like I can at least get my head around the Vipassana portion, just letting my thoughts kind of enter my mind and let them go. Also being a better teacher. I am my own worst critic, like many of us are, but even while I'm teaching, I will give myself feedback while I'm teaching.
Wow.
Like, I can deliver that better next time, or this sequence might not be my best, you know? Like, so when I leave the room and other people ask me, how was class? Sometimes it's like, oh, that was great. That was my best work ever. Usually it's like, yeah, it was good, but I can probably improve. So I want to make sure that their experience is really great, and if you don't fine-tune, like, an instrument, your own offering, then how are you going to improve?
I really love how you included that in what you're working on in your own practice.
Yeah.
Because as a teacher, that does become the practice.
Yeah.
And learning, like you said, learning from the students who show up in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Steve, what about you? What are you working on in your practice, your yoga practice, personally?
Well, I'll say that inversions have really been something that has been of interest to me. And we'll say in 2016, the progression of my yoga practice has been amazing. And I will credit it to the variety of practice that I've been doing around Denver and just in branching out. But when I started the year, I really wanted to be able to do crow, and I really could never do crow. I was so afraid of falling forward, and my fear always got the best of me, and my balance always shifted back, and I always fell back to my feet.
Wow.
And seriously, something early in 2016, in one of my experiences, either on the mat or outside, I just got over that, and I just put my balance forward and put that confidence in my hands, my arms, that they were going to hold me up. And if I fell, it's 6 inches to the floor, so it's okay. A little relaxation there, but yeah. So a lot of the classes that I attend, a lot of teachers will offer. This is playtime. If you want to do an inversion, if it's in your practice, go for it. But they don't offer the guidance to get in there.
And I've
had a chance to do a couple of clinics and get into inversions with some help. And I'd really like to be able to do some handstands and headstands confidently professionally.
You will.
Those are areas where I would like to improve my practice.
On a side note, Steve has been practicing transcendental meditation since we were in college.
Oh.
I don't know how regular it is now, but he was meditating before he ever went to the physical
1987
practice.
1987 in Boulder, I learned the TM practice.
Yes.
My dad practices TM at the
person's house. And it's a phenomenal practice.
That's awesome. He was saying to me that he thinks he needs to get back into that. So that's also, when you get into your teacher training, you'll see. All right, so a couple more questions. What is your favorite, I'll start with you, Danelle, what's your favorite yoga resource?
Yeah, I remember seeing this question come through, and I heard it on your previous podcast, and I was a little nervous about it. it's hard to put one.
There's got to be one that your go-to is.
I do reference the Big Book of Yoga. I'm going to tarnish the name of the magazine, but it's the Women's Health Big Book of Yoga with Catherine Buttigieg.
That's a great one.
I know all the teachers that are in that book, and I admire them and respect them so much.
That's a great
one. Tiffany Cruikshank, Mary Claire Sweet, Mackenzie Miller, Faith Hunter. I know I'm missing somebody, but it's all these great, phenomenal women that are, peers, but also people that I look up to, and I reference that a lot. There's lots of great mudras in there, lots of great asanas, meditation, and then, to steal from your previous podcast, but my 300-hour teacher manual from Gina Caputo in the Colorado School of Yoga.
Okay, so a teacher manual.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I reference it a lot. She even made us these sequencing books. So the way that we sequence, I can just write it down. Like, I'm going to use the book every class that I teach. And I constantly look back at that for advice on many different things. Meditation.
That's the sign of a good training.
Yeah. Sequencing, musicality, business of yoga, the Panchavayus, like anything that I need to reference, I go back to that for sure. I mean, it's like kind of cut up all, and there's paper flying everywhere, but... Maybe I should rebind it.
That's
really good.
Yeah. Steve, how about you? Do you have a favorite yoga resource?
Well, it's interesting because for somebody in the tech industry who's online all day, when it comes to yoga, I go offline. And my best resource really for yoga has been talking to my yoga teachers. And I really, a lot of times I will take the time after class to chat with the teacher about what the class was like for me, get feedback on what I liked about the class or didn't like about the class, and that to me has been the biggest resource for advancing my practice. And just that, at the end of the day, I'm done being by a device or a computer. It's so immersed for me. being in cybersecurity. It's a very intense field. Yeah. Perfect for type A people. but, you know, I do want to unplug from that. And connecting with my yoga teachers has been the number one resource to really advance my practice and learn.
What a great answer.
Totally agree.
I love it. And last question, you guys. What is your favorite yoga class to take in Denver?
Oh, I was also nervous about this one.
Yeah, this can be, well, no, just answer it honestly.
So I will give credit to my teacher, again, Gina Caputo, because she has a school in Boulder.
Yeah.
She's been a major, major influence in my practice and in my development as a teacher, and she's super supportive. So I take her class at least twice a month. I go up to Boulder.
What is she, what type of class is it?
It's a vinyasa practice, yeah. She studied with Shiva Ray, so it's prana flow mostly.
Yeah.
But it's also her own style. It's evolutionary sequencing like we did today.
Love it.
Love that too. It's purposeful, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing is arbitrary, which is great.
Yeah.
And then lots of local teachers I respect. Cheryl Deer, she's a forest yoga teacher.
Oh, yeah.
In town, she's like, you know, a veteran. She's taught so many people. And
wow.
It's just really accessible and available to many people in this community. Two more micers that I'll highlight. Amy Baker, who has taught me a lot. And then Carrie Bergeron, also both people that are local to Denver, have led numerous teacher trainings, have influenced a lot of students, but they've actually taught me a lot about my practice and have helped me with those arm balances.
So I was going to say, challenge Steve to take a class from each of those teachers.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good challenge.
Yeah.
We can go together.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Because every one of those, definitely need that.
Yeah, coming from a great teacher, obviously she has good teachers, and that's and you respect, obviously, very much what your teachers are giving you, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, what about you? What's your favorite, currently, what's your favorite class? There can be a couple.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have three.
Okay, perfect. I have four. That's okay.
Well, and, you know, I really like the detoxifying benefits to me of being in a superheated, I like it hot. It just lets me, helps me relax. And amazingly enough, as stressful as it is for some people to be in heat, for me, I just, you know, it's kind of like steel, melting steel. And my muscles are tight. I don't feel like I'm super flexible. And when I just let the heat just give in and release and let go, and then having heat, that's what helps me let go. So,
okay.
So hot yoga at Core Power South Boulder is a class that's not offered at most of the Core Power studios. It's unique to a few of them. And that one is a great class. And then Hot Power Fusion at the other Core Power studios. And then, of course, Opera Yoga is up there. Super, super fun. Super helping me let go.
It's my favorite Denver class.
Yeah.
And then I do like to go back to my roots. I do the new Denver Bikram Yoga Studio that's open is phenomenal, legit. Denver practice teachers are excellent. I do like to get in there once a week and have a traditional, take me back to my roots where I started, and just to see, you know, where I've come and all that.
Cool. Well, guess what, guys? That's the end.
That was fun.
I'm really grateful to have you guys. That was
Well, that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I think it was just such a fabulous interview with great content. Thanks again for listening. I wanted to give a final shout out to a few folks in Denver, some highlights in Denver that I really enjoyed and I wanted to just give a shout out to. And that would be the Denver Beer Company, the Alpine Dog Brewing Company, Après Yoga, Coastal Summit Fish Taco Truck, True Food, Core Power Yoga, Yoga Pod, The Big Wonderful Weekly Central Market, The Caribou Mountain Collective Bluegrass Band, The Jeff Austin Band, Native Roots Highlands Dispensary, B-Cycle, and Rapid Transit Denver. All of these folks helped make my trip to Denver really, really fabulous. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. I'll catch you guys at the next episode. Peace out.